One day I will. Joshua chapter 1, wonderful song. Not so good piano player, but wonderful singer and wonderful song. And I'm telling you, I wish I was preaching on heaven tonight. I'm excited about it. Maybe I'm going to go to heaven tonight. I'm just excited about heaven. And we're living back here in the camper, so I'm thinking about a lot of things right now. Five people in a 200 square foot camper for 5 months is going to be fun. And the price we pay for having a house built. But anyway, I don't know, normally watch regular TV, but that's all we got back there. And I was watching the news today just for a moment. And every time I turn the news on, I'm reminded again why I don't watch the news. Because it's never positive. It's never pro-Christian. It's never pro-anything, really, to be honest with you. And every time I watch the news, I just start thinking, I'm just ready to go. I'll be honest with you. I'm ready for the Lord to come back, and in His time, He will. Well, living in victory. We'll do lesson two tonight, living in victory. And I'm looking forward to what the Lord has for us tonight. We covered last week the preparation for victory. Tonight we'll do the same again tonight, the preparation for victory. And I got an amen or hallelujah. He's been watching them Pentecostal videos with his grandma. And he's getting it. I love it. By the way, kids, don't bother me. Matter of fact, what does bother me is I go to church and don't hear no kids. Yeah. Amen. I'd rather hear kids than snoring. That's always better. Amen. Preparation for victory. I began to think about this a while back, and then the pastor said, "Hey, you doing a series?" And I was like, "Well, you know, Lord, what do you want me to do?" And I believe one of the things that Michael Wiggins deals with more than anything, I deal with a lot of things, but I deal with defeat in my life a lot, and I've always been that way. I've always been, Pastor will tell you, I'm the pessimist, he's the optimist, he's Optimus Prime. But I contributed the way I was raised a lot, coming from a broken home, and I never had not too many aspirations in life. I know that sounds like, but I was just that type of kid. And, and in life, it seemed like that sometimes things didn't go the way Michael Wiggins wanted them to go. And I'm glad that it went the way God wanted it to go. And sometimes in our life that we must realize that I'll premise this message with sometimes victory comes in ways we didn't expect it to come. And sometimes it is in the preparation stage of our life, of God preparing us for victory. And by the way, I realize that as I preach this, as I teach this, that not every day of your life is going to be a day of victory. I realize that. But we ought to prepare for victory. We ought to always be ready for victory in our life and never live a life that is defeated. You know what happens to people that live defeated lives? Suicide, depression, drugs, alcohol, list goes on. Right? People that live defeated lives, the people that, remember last week I sung a hee-haw song for y'all, "Blooms of Spirit, it's agony on me, deep dark depression, excessive misery, if it wasn't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all." That's the way some people live in this life. But if you're a Christian, the Bible says that Christ came to give you life and to give you life more abundantly. And you as a Christian should never live a life of defeat. Why? Because God Almighty has given you His Son. He's given you His Holy Spirit. He's given you His Word. He's given you His grace. He's given you His mercy. And woe is us to say, "Well, I'll just live a life and just plod along and just live with the results of it." Listen, we need to plod along, but we shouldn't live a life that's just... Amen. Yeah, by the way, I think I put this in my notes last week to get to it, and I reread over my notes, and I was like, man, I forgot that. You ever meet people that love misery, though? I know a bunch of them. They're called family members. You never hear from those family members unless something has happened that's bad. "Hey, I got a prayer request for you." It's prayer requests. We're not gossiping. Did you know? So, I mean, they and they're like, they're the people that call and go, well, I just don't know. Well, you know what I mean? I know people have bad days, but I have people that are around me and my family that are always that way. Don't look at me like that. You got them too. Or maybe you're sitting beside the one that's like that. I don't know. But you say, well, how do you know if they're that type of person? You look at the phone and you go, should I answer this? That's the person I'm talking about. And by the way, I thought something was funny the other day. You know, on our phone, we have caller ID for everything now. You ever watch people when they go to answer their phone? I have some family members. My stepdad's the worst. If he's watching, hi. He'll call in like a name of show. He'll be, why are they calling me? Why do you ask that? Answer the phone and find out. You probably, you know, I mean, it's amazing. That was free. I had nothing to do. Go to the scripture. Joshua chapter 1. Notice verse 16 through verse 18. These are very important, so let's listen together. It says, and they answered Joshua, saying, now notice he just gave them kind of a charge. The Lord gave Joshua charge in the first part of chapter 1, the last kind of the middle part to the last part of Joshua chapter 1. Joshua kind of encourages the people, gets them ready for this. And then in verse 16, they give an answer back to Joshua. Here it is. It says, and they answered Joshua, saying, all that thou commandest us, we will do. And whithersoever thou sendest us, we will go. According as we hearken unto Moses in all things, so will we hearken unto thee. Only the Lord thy God be with thee, as he was with Moses. Whosoever he be that doeth rebel against thy commandment, and will not hearken unto the words of all that thou commandest him, he shall be put to death. And he said, only be strong and of a good courage. And we know where they got that statement from. But here we see the crowd. And if you study this, a lot of people think that these spokesmen were the head of the homes, or maybe even the priest of that day, representing the people, saying, Joshua, we're going to obey you because we obeyed Moses, because ultimately we obey God. And Moses, the Lord was with Moses, he's going to be with you, Joshua, and we're going to go wherever you send us. We're going to do whatever you tell us to do. And I believe there was some preparation time spent here in preparing them for victory. They're 3 days away. We know that through chapter 1, they're 3 days away from entering into the promised land. And we're going to look at that tonight, because we're going to study chapter 1, chapter 2, and chapter 3. Don't get alarmed. But we're going to look at that. And so 3 days out, they are starting to prepare themselves for victory. Now, there's some important steps in preparing yourself for victory. And I'll give you three more of those tonight after we pray. Father, we love you. Thank you for the night. And God, I do thank you for the opportunity I have to stand before your people. Lord, tonight, Lord, my spiritual vision tonight is on heaven. And Father, if you could just give us a little piece of heaven here tonight, which means your presence and your power, Lord, we'd be ever grateful to you for that. God, ask that you would help us to have an eternal perspective about your word. And Lord, what you were doing with the children of Israel, you're trying to do with us, and lead us into a life of victory. Lord, I pray that no one here tonight would say, I love living a life of defeat. But Lord, we all strive to live victory and through and victorious through your word, through your Holy Spirit, through your grace that you enable us to live by. And God, we need you greater and more today than ever before. Lord, I thank you for loving me. Thank you for the night. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. So three things tonight. Number one, we see that what do we need to live in victory? What preparation? Well, number one, we're going to talk about submission. Submission. In verses 16 and 17, we see that submission. The people say, all that thou commandest us, we will do. And whithersoever thou sendest us, we will go. And they said, we will hearken unto, as we hearken unto Moses in all things, so will we hearken unto thee. Only the Lord thy God be with thee, and as he was with Moses. And so it's a submission. By the way, I don't think that any time as a Christian that we are not submitted to the Lord, are we ever going to live a life of victory? You're not going to live a life of, by the way, if, and he says it in verse 18, if you're not in submission with the man of God that he's placed over your life to lead you and to God, guess what? You're called a rebel. Verse 18, he says, if you rebel, that means you're a rebel. That means you're wanting to go off on your own. Now, what happens when you go off on your own, you go off on your own power also. You go off on your own merit, you go off on your own ideal. And by the way, that the ways of a man are not the best way, nor are they the righteous way. And can I tell you tonight, Michael Wiggins has strayed, as well as everybody in this auditorium, from the will of God. And I believe we'd all agree that the end of that road never ends up well. You know, the greatest thing as a Christian is when you do stray that you notice it quickly and you get back on course. Now, I remember the day, me and Shelby was talking today, and I was telling her about the old days before cell phones. Right? When it was you, Shelby, right? Okay. Well, I was telling her, I had to make sure my story's right, we was going to lunch. So I was saying, you know, I'm surprised I'm still alive. Because as a kid, I was raised, you don't come home and sit in the house all day. You go do stuff. Well, as a kid, I loved to fish and I loved to hunt. I can remember as a kid, possibly 12 years old, out in the swamps of Florida, by myself fishing. When now, yeah, I'm still here. Hallelujah. You know, I'm not missing an arm. You know, you just pet the alligators. You don't hit them. You just pet them. But I was thinking, wow, it's amazing how I'm still alive. We lived a life without cell phones. If I would have got hurt out there, I mean, every day of my life, I was gone. I was in woods every day of my life. I loved it. I miss it. I'm kind of enjoying living in the back of the property. I feel like I'm in the country again. You know? And our house that growing up wasn't much bigger than that one. That's why you didn't want it. I was telling the kids again, I said, this is the reason why people didn't go home. Because back in the old days, we didn't live in the big homes. None of y'all that are old as like me growing up, our house was, you know, you didn't want to go spend time in there. You know, we may have had an Atari back in the day. Somebody say amen right there. Put that thing back in there, right? You blow on it, put it back in there. But in life, I strayed a little bit again. But in life, I got to get back. Skip that. I'm derailing too much tonight. But I want you to think about submission in your life. I didn't know where I was going with that, so we'll just get back. Submission in our life. Submission to the Lord Jesus Christ. Why do we submit to Him? Because, oh, I know what I was going to tell you. Is that some of the worst times in my life was when I would say, it's getting dark, I probably ought to head back. But man, I'm catching fish or I'm shooting duck. I mean, we used to love squirrel hunting and duck hunting. Man, if those ducks were coming in, the squirrel were running those tree limbs, I wanted to stay until I had my back full. And sometimes it would get dust and then, you know, I'd realize, well, all I got to do is turn around and head back the way I came in. Well, when it's in the dark, that's not always good. And there's been times I could hear way up the road that we used to call like this. We didn't call Michael. It was a hoo. And then what did you do back? Hoo. I don't. That carried. You know. And you hope that you wasn't out there with some other animal that made that sound, like coyotes. And where we were at in Florida, we had panthers out there, and whenever they scream, it sounds like a woman being murdered by somebody. That's scary when you're in the woods by yourself as a little boy and you hear, ah! You're like, ah! You don't know which one's screaming the most. But I want to tell you is that some of the worst nights of my life is whenever I said, I know how to get back. Right? And you know, I was taught from my dad and my grandparents is to go by the moon. One thing they left out. If it's cloudy, there's no moon, there's no stars, well, follow the North Star or follow the moon. What are you doing a cloudy night, Grandpa? You know, you just hope you win. But I want to tell you, there's a lot of Christians that live that way. And by the way, we have a directional book that tells us which way to go to live a victorious life. And instead, sometimes we want to go off on our own and not submit to Him and say, Lord, my way is the best way. And maybe we don't say that outwardly, but inwardly we say, Lord, my way is the best way. But I want to tell you that the ways of man are the ways of death. And even if you're saved, they could still be the ways of death. I've seen a lot of people stray from the Lord and end up dead because they strayed so far away from God, God took their life. Amen. Now, we ought to submit to Him, and by submitting to Him, we are coming to Him and saying, Lord, I can't, but You can. And by the way, we can't, can we? But also the Scripture says, and this is a Scripture a lot of people don't like, is Hebrews 13:7. It says, obey them and have rule over you and submit yourselves to them, for they watch for your soul, and they must give an account and do that with joy and not with grief, for it is unprofitable to you. That's talking about the leaders. That's talking about your pastor. We're to submit ourselves to our pastor. And by the way, I want you to think about this submission thing. Let's say there's 2 to 3 million Jews at this time. That's a lot of Jews. A lot of people following Joshua. And here's what he's going to tell them here in just a day or so. All right, guys. If they're not submitted, this is going to sound wonky. Here it is. All right, look, we're going to Jericho. I got a plan, a battle plan. Can you imagine them down there on the dirt going, okay, go ahead. All right, we got strategic places here, Joshua. All right, we got the wall here. We got a double wall. Joshua's like, that's not going to work. By the way, he had military men with him. And I'm sure they were going, okay, Joshua, I got this group of men that are going to go to the west wall, and I got these guys that are going to go to the south wall. And Joshua, no. Here's what we're going to do. All right. Whew, we're ready. First day, we're going to march around it. Okay. Reconnaissance. Second day, we're going to march around it. But we're going to be quiet. Okay, more reconnaissance. Third day, same thing. Fourth day, same thing. Fifth, sixth, but the seventh day. By this time, they're going, okay, when do we get to? No, we're not going to do that. You're not going to need to do that. On that seventh day, we're going to march around 7 times. And the priests are going to blow the trumpet. Walls are going to come down. Now, if they're not submitted to their leader, they're going to go, come on, Joshua, let us go talk to you over here. Right? Because that don't make sense. By the way, sometimes what God's trying to do to give us victory in our life doesn't make sense. And if we're not submitted to Him, we're going to go. By the way, neither did it make sense that a harlot, a prostitute, was going to save a whole nation of Israel. Now, it didn't make sense that she was going to end up in the lineage of Jesus Christ in the book of Matthew. But God's ways are not our ways, and His thoughts are not our thoughts. I'm telling you, if we just submit to the Lord Jesus Christ and say, whatever You want me to do, and when the Lord tells you to do something that's a little cattywomper to your vision and to your thoughts, and you just say, Lord, I just trust You. Amen. Didn't make sense to the disciples whenever He said, take those 2 fishes and 5 loaves. And we're going to feed all these people. If they wouldn't have been submitted to the Lord, that sounds like a crazy idea. Right? Let me tell you another crazy idea. I'm going to use a boy from MacDavid, Florida, to preach to a bunch of people in Hazlet, Texas in 2017. That didn't make sense to me. I thought when the Lord called me, I thought He had called the wrong number. I did. I didn't answer the first time He called because I know how people call and get the wrong number. But I'll tell you what, the greatest day of my life was whenever I submitted to Him. I didn't understand what in the world He was going to do. And when He told me that I was going to be a youth pastor, a music director, and evangelist and pastor and janitor and a husband and all these things, I was like, wow. But you know what I did? I just submitted to Him. And when you submit to the Lord and God begins to work things out in your life, you know what you do? You go, I did that. You go, wow, God did that with me? Hallelujah. You become thankful. You become the one leper that comes back and says, thank you, Lord. The other ones are going, well, it was all right. Submit yourself to the Lord. As you submit yourself to the Lord, you submit yourself to authority. By the way, we have to submit ourselves to authority every day of our life. And God blesses that. And He blessed the children of Israel because of that. Let me give you number two. I love this one. So in preparation for victory, number one, there has to be submission. Number two, there has to be a seeking. There has to be a seeking. Go to chapter 2. This is an amazing chapter because I believe there's some things in here we don't really think about. Notice chapter 2, verse 1. It says, and Joshua the son of Nun sent out two men to spy secretly, saying, go view the land, even Jericho. And they went and came into a harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. Now, number one, how would that have looked today? By the way, this plan didn't make sense, did it? Like, you know, you're like, ooh, is there anybody else that could help us? Because if we go in this house, this ain't going to look good. Hello? But God had a plan. Now see, there has to be a seeking for victory. Joshua was sending out these two spies to seek out victory. And by the way, it's amazing because last time, remember they sent out 12, 10 came back bad and 2 came back good? Joshua said, we'll just cut out the 10 and send the 2. And historians, people that know history, said that possibly one of these was Caleb. I don't know. They're not named. But all I know is that they're two people that had faith. Because they come back and they give a report. And what is the report? Look on down, if you will, in verse 24. It says, and they said unto Joshua, truly, chapter 2, verse 24 says, and they said unto Joshua, truly the Lord hath delivered into our hands all the land, for even all the inhabitants of the country do faint because of us. They come back and say, Joshua, we can do it. We can take this land. Why? Because God has not just prepared us for victory, but He's prepared the place of victory for us. Ooh, let me say that again. God's not only prepared us for victory, but He's prepared the place of victory for us. When you got a harlot up on the wall of Jericho going, we heard about you, and truly the Lord is with you, and will you save us when you come, and I'll tie on the blood scarlet line, hello, I'll trust in this scarlet line to save me in my house. Almost reminds you of putting the blood over the doorpost. Scripture told us that if you wasn't inside the house, When the Lord passed by that night that He'd wipe you out, you had to be under the blood. You had to go under the blood. Hello, it's still the blood. Even in the time of a harlot's life, she trusts the messenger, she trusts the message, and she put that scarlet line on her house to say, I believe these people. God had prepared not only the people for victory, but He prepared the place of victory. Whew. Somewhere out there, there's a place with your name on it. What do you do? I'm just never going to make it there. Boy, you're really preparing, aren't you? You know the problem? Now I'm pointing all my fingers back at me and my toes are at me. Here's how we look for victory.
I don't see any victory in my life.
These are the same people that never see any goodness either.
Lord's just not been good to me like He's been to everybody else. Bless my heart. Will y'all pray for me? I'm just so discouraged.
Now, there's points in our life that we all get that way. But people that live that way, please don't hang around me. I have a hard enough time by myself. Don't need your help. Amen. That's why I like hanging out with Brother Crawford. He is a positive man. I told you, he's Optimus Prime. I'm telling you, he is an optimist. I'm telling you what, we ought to be thankful we have a pastor that way. People say, you want to be pastor? No, I'm too negative. I see the bad in everybody. But I'm never discouraged because I expect it to be bad. Whereas pastor always expects it to be good and it turns out bad, he's discouraged. I'm never discouraged. Why? Because I didn't expect it to be good anyway. And when it's good, I go, woo! Hallelujah! When I was going through paramedic school, EMT school and all those things, the first thing they tell you to go to every scene expecting the worst. I was like, I got that. Well, as you get, I was certified back in 05 as an EMT, and I figured this out. The longer I went, the less I thought about that, and I would get to some scenes, and I'd be so caught off guard. Because sometimes you get those calls, a person not feeling well. Okay, well, we go in the house, we don't even carry half the equipment with us, right? Because we've been to 106 of these today. I'm telling you, they get them all day long. And you walk in there and that person's laying on the ground. They're not breathing. They're not, no pulse, nothing. And you go, uh-oh. I got to run back out to the truck and get my cardiac monitor because I was too unprepared. See, I believe we don't prepare ourselves for things in life. And see, I know that's kind of the backward side of that. But we ought to prepare ourselves for victory. If you're not looking for it, if you're not seeking victory, you're not going to find it. You know, and whatever you're seeking, that's what you find in life. And by the way, I say that we ought to set our heavenly vision, our spiritual vision to the highest mountain and say, Christ, as Caleb said, give me that mountain. That's the one I want. And go after what the Lord has for you. And by the way, God may have a lot of valleys before you ever get to the mountain. But He will be with you. We see the spies go and they seek out the land. Joshua's, that's part of the preparing. And by the way, how encouraging was that whenever these two spies come back and maybe all the representatives of the children of Israel there, and they come back and say, oh, it's good. It's good. We can take this land. The inhabitants are even ready for us. They know we're coming. They've heard of us. And God is with us. And they say, truly we can. The people go, that's good. By the way, this time they didn't even come back with the grapes, the fruit of the land. Why? They didn't need it. You know why? Because they came back with a good report by faith, and they're standing on the brink of the river looking over. By the way, it takes faith to seek out, doesn't it? Can I give you something I thought about today I never thought about? We got a few minutes. I'm preaching anyway, so it don't matter if you don't want to hear it. I begin to read about how the priests were going to lead this charge across the Jordan River. Now, they say this is during spring. This is time when the floodwaters would have came into the Jordan River. It would have overflowed its banks. They would have looked at it and go, we can't cross that. Now, here's an amazing thing. Two spies had to cross that. They had to risk their life to get over to the other side. This was an act of faith on their part. But you know what is a true act of faith is whenever the Bible says and tells us here in Joshua, it says that when they get ready to cross over this Jordan, it's that the priests are going to carry the ark, and when the tip of the ark touches the waters are going to go like this. I begin to think about that. You ever seen flooded waters? Have you ever wanted to carry a heavy ark into it? Hello? I begin to think about that. Man, they're carrying these arks on staves, right? Because that's the way you're supposed to carry it. And by the way, you're supposed to stay 1,000 feet away from it. It tells us there in chapter 2. It says to stay 1,000 yards, sorry, not feet, 1,000 yards away from the ark so it's visible, but also because it's holy. And they carried it on these stakes. And can you imagine the priests were the only ones that were going to get wet. But they had to have great faith. It's one thing to get in swift water by yourself, but when you're carrying this ark, they had to trust the Lord. And when the tip of that ark touched that water, that Jordan River flowed back. And again, they begin to think about the first crossing. They cross over, they were seeking victory, and guess what? God gave it to them. It takes faith in order to live a victorious life. Now, let me give you the last thing, and I'll be done. There has to be a sanctifying. Look at chapter 3, if you will, chapter 3, and look at verse 1. Verse 1 says, and Joshua rose up early in the morning. I like that, by the way. That ought to be all of us. And they removed from Chemosh and came to Jordan, he and all the children of Israel. And they lodged there before they passed over. And it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host, and they commanded the people, saying, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests and the Levites bearing it, ye shall remove yourself from this place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and about 2,000 cubits by measure, which is about 100,000 yards. Come not near unto it, that you may know that by the way which you must go, just follow the ark. That's a picture of the presence of God. You follow Him. You submit yourself. You seek it. You watch that ark. He says, for ye have not passed this way heretofore. And then verse 5, notice what Joshua tells them to do. He says, before we go into this land of victory, here's what I need you to do. And Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Joshua said, in part of preparation of entering into this place of victory, into this place of the will of God, you must submit yourself. But also you got to seek victory. You got to go after it. You got to seek it out. But he says the last thing is that we need to sanctify. In order for us to enter into the place of victory, we have to sanctify ourselves. What does sanctify mean? Well, this is what the concordance says. To consecrate, sanctify. But here's what it says also. It says prepare, dedicate, be hallow, be holy, be sanctified. Be separate. In other words, if you're going to live a victorious life, separate yourself from things that cause you to be a loser. That's all I know how to say it. Be defeated, let's say it that way. Right? You cannot win with an attitude of loss. You cannot live a life of victory without sanctifying yourself, separating yourself from the world. By the way, the Bible says, you adulteresses, know you not, the friendship of the world is enmity with God. You cannot be friends with the world and expect God to give you victory in your life. You can't live over here with a bunch of dead corpses. The Bible says that we ought to come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. What is He telling us to come out from among? The lost people. We have to engage lost people. We have to witness the lost people. We don't have to have friendship with the lost. Dr. House, his fingers are about 12 feet longer than mine. But I'm telling you, we can't live over here in the muck and the mire of the world and say, well, why is God not giving me victory? Hello? Why do I stink? Because you're hanging around with the lost. You got to come out and sanctify yourself. By the way, you go back and you study every time that the children of Israel were told to sanctify themselves, it usually was doing something that was holy. Like the ark was being moved, or they were setting up the tabernacle, or they were fixing to have the Passover, or something holy was going to happen. By the way, you know what that means? If you're preparing for something holy to happen, if you're preparing for victory, then you sanctify yourself. And by the way, we ought to expect victory every day of our life. That means we got to get up out of the bed, and we got to sanctify ourselves again. Why? Because sometimes in the night, our dreams are not sanctified. You ever wake up next morning and go, why did I kill that person in my dreams? Why did I think that? Hello? See, we got to sanctify ourselves. Notice, he goes on down, he talks about to the priest. Joshua spake unto the priest, saying, take up the ark of the covenant and pass over before the people. And they took up the ark of the covenant and went before the people. Verse 7 says, and the Lord said unto Joshua, this day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all of Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, I will be with thee. This was a day that Joshua was going to be blessed by the Lord in such a manner that the people that he was going to lead were going to look to him and see that God was all over him, that God was with him. And they're going to see that, yes, Joshua is trying to lead us in a place of victory. Next week, we're going to talk about, the week after that, we're going to talk about Jericho. We're going to talk about the significance of Jericho, the victory that was given to them there. By the way, you start studying the city of Jericho, it's an amazing study when you start understanding what God was doing there with those people. But let me ask you tonight, and by the way, the one thing that stood between the children of Israel and victory was a river. A river that they could not cross. By the way, they were carrying all their supplies. They were carrying their children. They were carrying things that they needed to survive in this land. But listen, that river stood in their way. And what did they have to do? They had to, what was the first thing? They had to submit themselves to Joshua. They had to believe what he was saying was true, because if not, we're all going to drown in that river. We had to believe God was working through our leader. Hallelujah. We ought to believe that the Lord is working through our pastor here at Heritage Baptist Church. By the way, sometimes pastors are going to say things and we all go, okay. Right? We don't understand. Then later on, I go, oh, okay. Every now and then we go, oh, still don't understand it a year later, but that's okay. Why? Because he's ultimately responsible. That's what the Bible says. We submit ourselves. We submit ourselves to the Lord. And then what do? We not only submit ourselves, but we seek it out. We seek out victory. If you're not looking for it, you're never going to find it. Kind of like the guy said, I don't guess I'm ever going to get married. Well, have you looked for a wife? No. Good luck. He was 60, by the way. Lived single the rest of his life. Why? Because if you sit at home and don't look for whatever you're looking for, guess what? You're never going to find it. And then we got to sanctify ourselves. If you want to live a life of victory, you can't live a life of victory and live in the world, one foot in the world and one foot over here. It's never going to work. Amen. Somebody say you straddle the fence long enough, you're bound to run into a fence post. Think about that one. Amen. What's in the middle of the road? Dead animals, right? Why? Because Christ says there is no middle of the road. Remember what he told the church at Laodicea? He said, I wish you were either hot or cold. He said, that way at least you know where you're at. He says, but you're not. You're lukewarm. He said, and that makes me sick. I paraphrase that. He said, I'll spew you out of my mouth, because why? That lukewarmness is not going to get it. And by the way, we're living in the Laodicean age right now. We're living in an age where we're like, well, if I win, I win. If I lose, I lose. No, I don't know about you, but I want to live a life of victory. Why? So people can pat me on the back? No, so I can give all honor and glory to him. But when we live a life of victory, that's a light that shines into this world that is really and truly, people are looking for victory in their life. I gave a tract to a lady not too long ago, and she just looked discouraged. So I gave her a tract, and it's the one that we have that says, Direction for Your Life. And she says, I don't think you could have named this thing. She didn't know what a tract was, but she's like, this pamphlet, you couldn't have named it better. She says, does it really give me direction? Yes, ma'am. I said, ma'am, it gives you direction all the way through eternity. She said, I'm going to read this. We were at Kroger, one of the places. She said, I'm going to read this. Because, you know, you go up there sometimes and they look so defeated, don't they, people in this world? Man, I felt so sorry. I was like, ma'am, I said, I know you probably ain't got time to read this right now, but I said, would you read this when you get a chance? I said, I just want to let you know I'm praying for you. And her little name tag said, Rachel. I said, I'll pray for you, Rachel. She looked at me like, how you know my name? I was like, I like messing with people like that. They forget they wear them name tags. And I've never seen Rachel since. That's been a little while back. I've never seen her since. But you know what? She needs direction for life. Why? Because she looked defeated. And the reason that she was defeated is because she don't know Jesus Christ. But let me ask you this. As a Christian, why would we ever look defeated? Yeah, we have bad days. We have things happen in our life. I'm not saying that. But to live constantly in defeat is a sin. And we need to come out of that and submit ourselves to the Lord and seek victory and do what? Sanctify ourselves. Let's stand tonight. Heads bowed, eyes closed. We're going to sing hymn 161 after I pray. Father, love you tonight. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the illustrations you give us through your word. And Father, I pray everything that I've said tonight has been from you. And Lord, those things that I said that were me, I pray that you would just take them from the minds of the people tonight. Because Lord, tonight there's just stand so many folks in this world that are living defeated lives. And Lord, you give us the road and the recipe to find victory. And Lord, we know that every day is not going to be a glorious day. But Lord, even in the valleys, Lord, we can see you preparing us for victory. Lord, even in times of tragedy that we may not understand today, but tomorrow, Lord, through those tragedies, we'll see victory. Now, God, tonight, I can't look at every heart here tonight and say this is what they need and this is what they need to do. But Lord, you can through your Holy Spirit. And so, Father, I pray you do that right now. I pray that you just, Lord, show us who we are and what we need tonight. And Lord, you do have the remedy for all that we have. Lord, I ask you to bless this invitation now in Jesus' name. Amen. Hymn 161, if you need to come tonight, we're going to sing softly and tenderly.
Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling.
You want victory tonight?
For you.
Maybe you need to come down and just submit yourself to the Lord. Maybe you need to seek it tonight. Maybe you need to come and sanctify yourself. Separate yourself from those things that defeat you in life.
Watching for you and for me. Come home, come home. Ye who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling. Calling, oh sinner, come on.
Another verse. If you need to come tonight, please come on.
Why should we tarry when Jesus is pleading? Pleading for you and for me. Why should we linger and heed not his mercies? Mercies for you and for me. Come home, come home. Ye who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, oh sinner, come home.
Thank you. Maybe seated real quick. We do have a couple special